Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks from Wall Street Reporter, and today I am speaking with Ian Jenkins. He is the CEO of Freely Inc. Stock symbol is FRLI over the counter. Ian, welcome.
Thank you, Jack. Happy to be here.
Yeah, Ian, can you maybe start off by telling us what exactly does Freely do?
So we are an artificial intelligence company dedicated to decoding and interpreting DNA. And we do that for primarily the medical market in a B2B fashion, also in the health and wellness market as well.
Okay. And so what are some of the, applications? Like what exactly, what are the product services? What exactly do offer your clients?
So currently we are doing whole genome and whole exome analysis for recommendations, both on the health and wellness and further evaluation of lab-developed tests for medical physicians. And we do that in a way to give a better search and reference tool to doctors to really understand the whole human. To put that in perspective, to do this, to look at the whole genome, you have 3.2 billion base pairs, or 6.4 billion nucleotides. And we can look at kind of the whole picture versus what some of our competitors are, which is just a few hundred markers. We've identified over 60 million kind of important data points that we work with and offer to our doctors. So it's a difference, if you think about it, between having a couple of sentences from a book or having the entire book. If you have a couple of sentences, you may not understand the context of that book. If you have the entire book, you can really understand it. And a human's like a book. We look at it as we want to see everything about you so we can understand how to help you where you are today. This is kind of where we're at. And we do a few more things specifically for other customers, but that's the core of what we do.
And so you use AI essentially to do what? To
So artificial intelligence allows us to analyze the entire genome. And if you think about the gene interactivity, it essentially looks as if everything in your body is interconnected. And to understand the value of, let's say, a genotype or a mutation for either a medical provider or, a health and wellness offering, you have to understand what that means in the context of the human. So the AI allows us to look at a specific gene type or mutation in the context of the entire human. To put this in perspective, when we started, it was several hundred thousand dollars and a team of experts to really decode and understand and sequence and understand the human genome. 2 years ago, it took us 166 hours, 166 hours to do this machine. Today, we can look at your entire genome and understand the concept and bring forward a way for a doctor to search the genome and understand what's happening with the patient in under 5 minutes. So we're taking what was a very cumbersome process for doctors, very difficult to do when they were dealing with, a more complex patient or more complex disease, and put it in a system that now is very easy to use and very, very quick. It really takes the guesswork out, right?
And what kind of data does it offer the physician? Like what are the different types of data that they can get?
So currently they're pulling psychotropic data. They're also pulling precision recommendation data for cannabis, as well as precision data on diet and supplement recommendation. So from the whole health and wellness spectrum. Once we get FDA clearance, we're not currently FDA cleared for some of our products. Once they are cleared, they will be able to do more, right? So we've got some things we're working on that will allow doctors to have more rapid diagnostics. Again, not FDA cleared, but once those are that's the next kind of stage. So right now, it allows doctors to, in kind of a few areas, really understand their patient and to search the entire genome, for specific mutations related to maybe a symptom the patient is having, right? To try to see if there's any correlation there. It allows a doctor to take control. In the future, we'll be able to offer that doctor even more of a diagnostic solution.
So right now you have two applications that are on the market right now that you're generating revenues from?
That's correct. So we've just started onboarding our first two clients, one in the cannabis and the medical cannabis and health space, and the other in the hemp and supplement space. And what we're currently doing for them is the one in the hemp and supplement space, we're doing a whole genome discovery tool, which is a low-pass read. And we use artificial intelligence to improve the accuracy and understanding of the health and wellness client. This also allows us to look at and help produce better supplements for gene groupings. And the other one is a psychotropic test, which encompasses cannabis recommendation as a secondary add-on for cash that the doctors can use to take the guesswork out of it. Right now, you have a patient come into their physician and they have pain or anxiety or depression, and the physician will say, if the patient wants to try cannabis, go to your local bud tender and buy some cannabis. Now, the problem with that is it's kind of the Wild West. You do that. You're telling them to go out and get this medicine they know nothing about. They don't know how to take it. And it's very difficult. Even if the doctor tells them, you know, try smoking, you know, a gram or half a gram, you know, some large amount, right? That patient still is going to have a hard time. And they're going to come back to the doctor and have to kind of go through this cycle until they dial it in. With our technology, we can actually match what we call a chemo bar to the patient profile. They're kind of pharmacogenetic and pharmacogenomic parameters that allow the patient to select the right strain to, you know, take it in the right amount and the right time. This gives the patient the ability to really have a much better experience, have much more clear outcomes.
Okay.
So
I was going to ask you. Now we have, you know, there's a couple of companies, you know, we've recently interviewed that are kind of, you know, on the periphery of the space. I mean, they're you know, trying to do it in a different way. How accurate is this? Like, and who is the customer? Is the customer the physician or is it the patient? How do you, you know, monetize this for the cannabis side specifically?
Our customer is the physician, the grower, or the product producer. And their customer is the patient. So ultimately, we're serving the patient, but we don't serve the patient directly. We are a business-to-business only. So we kind of generate revenue in two ways. One is by doing the sequencing and the analysis of the patient. The other is by licensing our technology to improved crop growth so they can grow specifically for what they're trying to deliver to the physician, and also for custom product development as well, using kind of gene grouping and gene parameters. So in some ways, that sets us up down the road to work with pharmaceutical companies doing kind of the same parameters, looking at genetic-based drugs. So we're not currently monetizing the pharmaceutical world, but we are focused right now on finding the right partners in the cannabis world to kind of take this to the next step.
Can you kind of give us an example of how would your model work from the revenue model? Let's say from the grower side. So, you know, there's a medical cannabis grower. How would they be able to use your system, and what would be their benefits? How do they monetize this?
So our system allows the grower to grow specific strains, which we then chemovar and validate with the proper SOP to deliver what the doctor's looking for. And when I say that, what that means is the proper cannabinoid and terpene profile to match a specific need on the medical side. So we take a licensing fee for what I would call a custom designed genetic on the growth side. So we're looking, let's say, for whatever number, 12, 50, 150 different internal components in the cannabis, we guide the grower on what to grow and how to grow it to get what they're looking for.
And this is based on the inputs from what? From what the physicians are looking for? They're saying, hey, this is the type of profile we need?
So it's actually what we gather. So we gather data back from the physician, and we train our AI using real human feedback. And when we find benefits in the AI then returns a report on how the patient responded. So with the training we've done so far, we're able to give a good experience to the patient. When we find groupings of what that patient would need, right, or that patient group would need genetically, we can then match that back to the genetics of the plant so that the grower can grow the correct plant. This is a revenue model, so we take a percentage of yield of the crop, essentially. So we're not selling, distributing anything on the cannabis. We're purely on the technical side, but we take a licensing fee as a percentage of how much they grow based on our technology.
Okay. So, you know, it's kind of, I guess it's, they're licensing the, I don't know, intellectual property
technology.
Or, okay, the technology.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So it's kind of like you're in the customized medicine space in a way.
You're exactly correct. So we are, in my opinion, the next generation of truly personalized medicine. This will continue, you know, for the rest of our lives who are listening to this call and who are speaking today. Personalized medicine is a journey, and each step makes us better, makes us healthier, makes us live longer. We're the next step. The next step is guiding the entire supply chain. And we have what we call the DNA wallet. And that connects to our drug hub that allows the entire ecosystem to communicate so that we make sure that the drug producers are creating the right drug for the customer that's going to take it and being delivered by the doctor in a way that is meaningful and gets better patient outcome. It's all about improved patient outcome by true precision and tying the entire supply chain. At the end of the day, that's our real value proposition, and we earn revenue kind of at each stage, depending on who our customer is in that supply chain. So if we're helping the customer and tying them into the network, it's more of a transactional license fee along the supply chain.
Okay. And you also mentioned, maybe if you can, you know, talk briefly about the psychotropic side. What are you doing there?
So the psychotropic side, to put it more broadly, we are guiding the physician, when you look at lab-developed tests, we're using a CLIA lab and a lab-developed test to basically give a precision drug and a precision dose to a patient. So in psychotropics, probably the most common one you're seeing is depression. And in depression, some of our competitors will give kind of a basic outlook using 40 or so markers, to try to guide that patient into taking the right medicine or avoiding the wrong medicine. We've taken the approach that we want to give the doctor everything at his fingertips. So we take a psychotropic panel that's somewhat larger, a lab-developed test, and we deliver that to the doctor. And then we put that in the context of that lab-developed test of the entire human. So that way the doctor has the ability to search and understand anything else in that genome that the patient wants. What that does is allow the doctor to move and act in a way that improves the patient outcome more quickly. To put it in perspective, sometimes you've seen the patient go in and they'll try an SSRI, which is a drug classification, and it may or may not work right very well. And so the doctor tries a different one, an SNRI, and then maybe they try an MAOI, right? And this kind of goes on in different combinations for months, you know, sometimes up to 9 months before they dial that patient in, and sometimes it never happens. What we're doing is taking that guesswork out of it and getting the patient started on the right track more quickly. And this is a relatively new offering that we're offering through Orne currently, one of our customers and partners, to their patients to just really change the treatment cycle of depression. It all comes down to the doctor's ability. We're there as, you know, a lab tool and technology to really make their job easier and improve their patient outcomes.
So So you're working with this company, Orin, I think you said.
Orin, that's correct.
Okay, and what do they do?
So Orin is a telemedicine company. They also have a test clinic, and they are a service provider to other more established medical communities. So they deal in the managed care, family medicine, you know, psychotropic, and cannabis space. So with them, we're not exclusive partners, they are customers of ours, but they are delivering and testing out new methodologies and operations. So that's their primary goal. They are a service provider to large organizations as well as, you know, a direct to consumer company.
Okay. Orin, what is it? O-R-E-N? Is that the...
O-R-N.
O-R-N. I see. Okay. Okay. So, all right. So essentially, so the data that you'd give Orin or the physician is what? Some essentially telling the physician that, hey, this is, you know, this is what kind of dose or what kind of, you know, possible adverse reaction this patient might have with these antidepressants?
So the first step is to deliver the knowledge of what could potentially be adverse so they can avoid those. And the second is to guide them to what might work well. Right, and then you can drill down into kind of a timing and other metrics. As we clear more things with the FDA, we can add more to that. As you know, the FDA sometimes lags behind the technology. Right? So from a lab-developed test standpoint, we can tell them, we can get them in a really good starting place. The doctor just has to make that final call. So when it comes to dosing, we can give them guidance on what might work. The doctor has to make the prescription on what will work, right? Okay. It's important to make that clarification. Even though we make that very easy for the doctor, it's still the doctor's call on what dose and timing.
Okay, so essentially, you're allowing the doctor to know, what the probabilities are, what the high probabilities are of this, and let them
exactly. So okay. We're basically taking this patient, exposing what will most likely be the benefit to the patient. So instead of them having to kind of guess, we tell them, look, based on their genetics, this one has a high risk probability. Doesn't have a high success probability, right? And these dose ranges seem to be the most effective with that patient based on the patient feedback. The difference between us and other companies is we are taking in real patient feedback and using that to improve other patients with like genetics. So this is really a big differentiator and where this is ultimately where precision medicine is moving, right? Finding the right biomarkers. And, you know, when we do our research in the transcriptome with some of our partners there, that is the next step we will take, right? So we're currently in doing what is allowable by law and what is prudent from a patient treatment perspective and looking to the future of what's next. But right now it is about getting that doctor from where they are now, which is a little bit of guesswork, to the next stage, which is having a good idea of what to do and being able to enact it well.
Okay, now it seems this is it's a very interesting product because with psychotropic medicines there's a tremendous amount of unknowns. So with this, with the patient's DNA, you're giving them kind of a high probability of what the outcomes could be.
Exactly. Okay. That's a perfect way to put it.
So, how far along are you in terms of, commercialization? What kind of revenues are you generating now with these products or offerings?
So right now we're in the stage of deploying with our first two customers and, you know, obviously still open the doors for kind of the rest of the community who is interested, but we're really focused on implementing and finishing our integration. So right now we're in the kind of the final stages of integration, which from a technological standpoint, we need to make sure that it's easy for the doctors to access from whatever they're currently doing, right? So we're integrating into their technological system. That should be complete in the next few months, and we will be then deploying. So from a revenue standpoint, that'll look much more healthy once we have those integrations complete and full deployment.
And that's with this company, Orin, yeah?
And OPTAVIA, yep, those two companies.
Okay. So okay, and how does kind of the business model work? How do you generate revenue from these types of clients?
So there's two ways, right? So with OPTAVIA, we make money on the sequencing, as well as sequencing and analysis, as well as on the product licensing. So when we recommend a supplementary health program, we actually license that technology to OPTAVIA for a portion of sales. With Orne, it's a bit different on the medical side. It's much more acting as a laboratory to them, but we have a true partnership where we've actually gone in with Orne to share on revenue and improve the medical system as a whole. Orne being in a unique position as a kind of a service provider to other large organizations in the medical community allows us the opportunity to go in and actually create multiple sources of revenue inside of one venture. So to put that simply, we make money on the full treatment cycle by partnering with a firm that treats larger firms.
Okay.
That includes sequencing, subsequent testing. So typically on this kind of patient, you're going to see multiple testing platforms. It can also include potential integrations with their pharmaceutical partners as we move down the road, as well as building and guiding the telemedicine platform as well.
Okay. So in case, anybody who's listening to this or reading the interview that, they kind of want to be able to, model what the revenues, potential or earnings could look like. How do you like what kind of numbers, could you give? I mean, is it a revenue per patient, or what are the metrics?
So there's a licensing fee as well as a revenue per usage, so per sequence and per test. So if you look at the customer revenue model, and I unfortunately don't have a crystal ball, so I can't kind of give those projections. But what we do know is that the customer lifetime value is substantially higher by using an integrated model. So if you were to model it out, the right way to do it would be to look at it as there's a revenue generated at the point of entry, and then a kind of an annuity type revenue generated as the customer receives further testing and treatment as they move along.
Okay, so per patient. So what could the what could those numbers look like?
I think the numbers are healthy. The important part to remember is that we're serving patient bases that are relatively small while we integrate, but the patient base size is substantially larger. The need in this country is substantial, and the desire seems to be substantial. By estimation, you have an underserved population needing psychotropic help, needing help with cannabis in the millions of patients. Now, that doesn't mean we have those patients, but it means those patients are in the demographic actively searching for what Orne is providing them using our technology.
So how big is the market opportunity that you're looking at? That's let's say immediately addressable just with these two markets that you're going after right now.
If we execute correctly over the next 2 years, we'll be significantly penetrating market in the billions. I'm not in the position of speculating on that growth at this point. What we can do is execute, improve patient outcomes, and drive new business. The market size itself is substantial. I don't think anyone can argue that the market size for precision medicine and for precision diagnostics, especially some of the new things coming out, is substantially large. There's a Pew Research poll that'll give you a good idea of what those numbers are. And I believe that with proper execution and using our partners who are very strong in the medical field, we can have significant penetration.
So what's the, what's the competitive landscape like? Are there other players in this space? I mean, I think was it 23andMe is a company that I think is playing in part of this area. Like, what, maybe you could, you can talk about that and how you differentiate, your services.
Absolutely. So 23andMe is a company that, I do respect. They're one of the early entrants into this market. We're really in a different sector. So 23andMe is more on the customer, direct consumer market. And they're looking at, depending on which chip, somewhere in the neighborhood of 400,000 to 600,000 data points. Again, 400,000 to 600,000 compared to 3.2 billion or 6.4 billion, nucleotides. It's really apples and oranges, right? So we're looking at big data, providing real solutions, and serving the medical and health community from a business-to-business standpoint, and they're kind of out actively recruiting consumers. So it's a very different kind of model. Theirs is much cheaper and is a more of a consumer package good. Right? It gives people the opportunity to know a little bit more about themselves. It's kind of fun, but there's nothing that a doctor could really use in there to benefit a patient. Whereas a lab-developed test, with CLIA certification and a search and reference tool on the whole genome allows a doctor to do precision medicine. And that's really where we play. Right?
Okay. Ayn, can you talk a little bit about, maybe give a snapshot of the company's history, how the company, how and when the company got started?
Absolutely. So this, the origin of the technology kind of precedes the company formation. We were working on a project for a company called Cellular Research at the time. And, I'd been in the genetic community for a long time at that time, on the finance side and directly working on the genetics. And we'd created a kind of a panel, if you will, on a cancer panel. I'm looking at some different methods at the time. Around that same time, my father was diagnosed and died from complications of surgery and colon cancer. And it kind of lit a fire in me because I'd been researching it. I realized if I'd delivered that test, we could have potentially taught what was happening to my father, treated him, and saved his life with early detection. So that was really the formation, and what started me down this path was a personal experience. I was in the field, and I missed an opportunity to save a loved one. Obviously, at that time, obviously, that test was not developed. It was in the research phase. So it's been now my life goal to kind of correct that. So that was years and years ago. This formal final construction of the company kind of came to life in 2017 and kind of putting everything together. So we'd been working on the technology for years, and those of us who'd worked on it formed a partnership with a few investors and brought it to market in 2017. Since then, we've made substantial improvements in the technology, but the core science is and the core ideology is the same.
Okay. So it seems like you're highly motivated.
Absolutely.
Can you maybe talk a little bit about your background? You kind of started mentioning a little bit about your background in this space, but talk about maybe your background and some of the other key members of the team.
So I've been fortunate to surround myself with really brilliant people. Dr. Susan Morelli, who's a dual board certified MD in medical genetics and neonatology. Dr. Hans, who's a quad board certified physician. Dr. Shane Morris, one of the other co-founders with me, PhD biochemist. The list goes on. We have a really strong science core who've done some substantial work. But from taking the science to market, it's really looking at people like Jim Spolino, myself, Jason Uffins, who really has been a godsend. Jason Uffins he wrote a good portion of the code for GoDaddy to launch that back in the day. He was one of the CTO of Streamline, who acquired Grubhub, now operates under the name of Grubhub. The list goes on and on, but he has been really brilliant in taking the technology and making it commercially usable, commercially viable, easy to use by doctors. He was on the code team, you know, in biotech for many years, right? He worked on the original telemedicine software, right? So he's a very brilliant asset and has been, you know, absolutely fantastic in bringing this to market. You know, Leslie Norris has been a genius, our COO. Myself, I've been kind of in the biotech and health and wellness medical arena my entire career. I started out working at labs as I jokingly say a lab slave at a very young age. I actually started when I was 12 and had a formal kind of slave position at 13. You know, working in a genetics lab and working for my brother at the time, who was in medical school, working for a professor on Drosophila, which is fruit flies. So I've been in it for years. I worked for Davidson Genetics after that. And, you know, they've been sold off. You know, these are old companies that no one remembers unless you work in the Human Genome Project. But the, you know, I was in it for a very long time. And then I got, did my MBA at Thunderbird School of Global Management. And that kind of took me down a separate path of, you know, seeing new technology come to life. That's where I've really made my home.
What's your vision for Freely, you know, over the next 2-3 years out? You know, assuming, you know, you guys are able to execute, what is the company going to look like? What's the big picture?
So the big picture for us is being the main player in the precision medicine arena and creating, you know, a supply chain of precision medicines which limit the adverse reactions and maximize the positive outcomes. And this is going to be made a reality using artificial intelligence because it can do things we couldn't do before as mere scientists. And down the road, this is the future of this company, to be the main technological player in precision medicine.
Now you mentioned two customers you're working with right now. Looking out over the next 6 months or so, what other key milestones are there that investors can look forward to?
You know, I think the key milestones will be our future rollouts of more options for these doctors to use, and you know, in the R&D pipeline, we're working diligently to work with regulators on the CLIA side with our partner labs to allow them to use more. So I think it's going to be an exciting rollout with these two, and then you know, the others who've raised their hands in the market who have expressed interest, you know, we hope to present those to the world as we finalize contracts with them.
Okay. Ian, in my last question, in your opinion, you know, what are the, you know, key value drivers, you know, what are really the top three reasons that investors should consider the stock today?
I think there's three good reasons. And number one is we have a solid strategic team who has been diligent, you know, through thick and thin of really making the right choices and focused on serving our customers. The second is we're in a position, technologically speaking, to make a significant impact. It's a very disruptive technology. And third would be that the sector itself is an extremely ready sector, meaning the demand is very, very high. So it's a good opportunity.
On that note, Ian, I want to thank you, and we look forward to hearing more from Freely in the months ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Marks.